WildTalkRadio.com.
Theme song.
Listen up, Slapnut. This is Jeff Jarrett.
Hey, this is Max Brown, King Robert from the Royals.
This is the undisputed future Seth Rollins.
Hey, this is Kane from WWE.
This is EC3.
Hello, this is WWE Hall of Famer, the Heartbreak Kid, Shawn Michaels.
I'm Bristol.
And I'm Aubrey from ATTV Flipper Flop Vegas.
Hi, this is Bree.
And this is Nikki, and we're the Bella Twins.
Yes, this is Broken, not Hottie.
The greatest man that ever lived always likes a good rap, and you're listening to the greatest rap.
Satisfaction is guaranteed.
It's time to experience the award-winning The Rack.
I heard y'all wanted to hear a bedtime story.
I love kickball.
I'm back, taking souls and digging holes.
I'm gonna break you, bitch, you hear me?
With your host.
They've been lying to you. Heroes don't exist. Y'all become addicted to the illusion of what a hero does for you. Have I mentioned that I was once addicted to eating sponges?
Lindsay Ward.
Look at me, woman.
And you can just call me Taker.
Oh my God, it's Taker, 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 Taker. Does Taker hate me? Oh my God, it's Taker.
And she was a wicked, wicked child who spat and swore and chewed tobacco.
I like puppets.
And her producer, Sir Rocket.
My little creatures of the night will now experience the magical art of puppetry.
This right here means I'm the champ that runs the camp.
Live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
I knew you'd come.
And welcome to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at Gerwick.net, RackRadioShow.com, or WildTalkRadio.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. We are not live because, well, I'm out of town this week, but we had to give you something because stuff happened. So this is the Rack's Greatest Royal Rumble Backlash Spectacular, where we are going to talk all about, well, the Greatest Royal Rumble that happened.
No.
He's Rock. I'm Lindsay. What?
This is not the Greatest Royal Rumble Backlash Spectacular. This is the Lindsay Ward Birthday Spectacular.
Really?
What?
Yes, it was my birthday Wednesday.
Yeah, so this is the post-birthday hangover spectacular.
So where's Bray Wyatt?
Saudi Arabia?
No. They are back in the States.
Are they, though? At the time we're doing... Are they?
Yeah. At the time that we're doing this, they are technically back in the States, because Braun Strowman posted out that he was back in the United States. He's headed back to Florida for a day of rest, and then he was flying to Canada, which I don't understand why you wouldn't just go directly to Canada, but not going to judge.
They had a day off. So Bray is probably playing with his yo-yo. You know, the thing with the string and goes up and down, up and down?
Yeah, I'm sure he is. Over and over and over again.
Until he hits a climax. He couldn't bring his yo-yo to Saudi Arabia, so he's gone without playing. So he needs to play with his yo-yo.
Mm-hmm.
Up and down, up and down. There's many tricks you can do with a yo-yo. You can walk the dog, the sleeping dog, the hands in the cradle thing.
He's getting all handsy with his yo-yo, y'all. Anyway, moving on. Because we are horrible, awful people. Let's get into the Greatest Royal Rumble, because this is going to be a long show. Because, well, we have two shows, pay-per-views, whatever you want to call them, we have to talk about. And we're going to try to keep this as minimal as possible. And bear in mind, Backlash will be incomplete because we haven't had the final Raw, which means not all the matches have been announced yet. So...
Yes, this is being recorded before Monday Night Raw, right after the Greatest Royal Rumble. Do the time frame. There you go. So we're going with that card. As of this point, what we will be previewing.
Yes, so this was the 5-hour, or in my case, 2-day spectacular, because I had to watch it in pieces.
She legit watched it in 3 pieces.
Because I have a life. And when somebody calls you and says, hey, you want to hang out? It's like, yeah, sure. I can watch this later. Thank you, WWE Network. So we're going to jump right into the card. And we see beautiful Jeddah, the stadium full of people. They're all excited and happy to be there. There's about 60,000 people in attendance. And what has seating has been sold out. And they announce that the first match on the card is going to be a big one. None other than John Cena taking on Triple H.
Can we take a step back first?
Hmm.
And talk about the setup, the arena, the stage. Cool, stage was cool.
The stage was cool. The canopy was cool. It was actually a really beautiful set. It was very simple, but the way that they did the video boards was really, really neat. It had a cool effect.
It really did. It was weird, though, where when it's WrestleMania, you see everything on the floor, you know.
Filled.
There's a lot of empty spaces. Because this show was not about filling up 100,000 people, which legitimately they probably could have.
Oh, they could have easily done it. They could have easily gotten 23,000 more people in there. Easily. Yeah, that was the one bad thing about it. When they panned out to show the crowd, you saw the sections right around the ring and how small they were, and then the floor was just empty otherwise. And then you saw, obviously, the bowls completely full, but yeah, it kind of diminished the effect because the floor was so empty. But again, like you said, they weren't about selling the seats. This was about entertaining the crowd and starting a brand new process for Saudi Arabia, where it's bringing the world to Saudi Arabia. And WWE is going to be a part of that process over the next 10 years.
That said, that crowd, especially in this opener, was loud.
They were loud. They were excited. They wanted to be there. They were having a good time, except for that group of guys that was standing in the front row having a meeting over something. I don't know what, but hey, all good. You're in the King section, so do what you want. Not going to argue with you.
So the first match, Cena and Triple H.
And by the way, they broke out pyro for this show. There was some money dropped on the pyro for this show.
WrestleMania level pyro.
Multiple times over.
That's what happens when they do big stadiums and open air stadiums. They can do pyro. That is the reason they cut back in the smaller stadiums. If you look back at some of the smaller stadium shows, when they shot off pyro, smoke would fill the entire arena for like 15 minutes.
Well, yeah, that was every show. That was like the haze over Monday Night Raw for the longest time, and SmackDown was, they had to filter all the smoke out.
Right, so since technology has grown, they've cut back on it for the visual reasons, and in open-air stadiums, you don't see the smoke effect like you normally do.
No, you don't. You did, but you didn't. Like, it was hanging in the air, but it wasn't consuming the ring and the set and everything. It drifted off pretty quickly.
Yeah, it did.
But moving on, the blockbuster match between Triple H and John Cena, where, well, they had a hot crowd. They were excited for both men. Hunter looked fantastic. Cena looked fantastic.
So, I'm going to explain what this matchup was. If you've ever seen a match from the early 90s, think Hulk Hogan.
Mm-hmm.
Power versus power, strength versus strength. We're not going to take a lot of bumps. We're going to move around. We're going to throw some fists. We're going to do some slams. Not take many risks. This was your match. Because guess what? The crowd didn't want to see anything super athletic from these guys. They weren't expecting much. They just did a simple match that was entertaining for the crowd. The crowd was into every moment of it. Every near fall, every slip up, like the what was supposed to be a spine buster powerbomb or something when Cena did the Fey-master from the top rope.
Mm-hmm.
That's what happened. So, yeah. Beyond that, good match. Match really started when Triple H kicked out Cena's AA. So you knew they were in for the main event level treatment when someone kicks out from it.
Mm-hmm.
Then Cena kicked out of Hunter's, yada, 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 AA, slingshot, AA, winner, winner, chicken dinner, John Cena.
There was an awkward spot where John, I think, jumped off the top rope and Hunter went for the spine buster.
That was the Fey-master, yeah.
And that was like, that was kind of...
Yeah.
That was a little awkward.
Not sure whether it was supposed to be a spine buster or he was, like, whenever someone does that move with Cena, it's supposed to be a powerbomb. Hunter's known for the spine buster, so...
Hunter went for the spine buster, then the announcers called it as a spine buster, but it did not turn out to be a spine buster, which really made me upset.
Mm-hmm.
Not really, but, you know, it's like, Hunter has one of the prettiest spine busters in the entire business. Whenever he hits that thing, it's just beautiful to see.
Mm-hmm.
So, the fact that we got robbed out of that, I was a little upset.
Yeah.
But other than that, you know, it doesn't have any bearing on the show. But yeah, it's like, oh, that's disappointing. But other than that, this was a fine match. I don't, you know, obviously they didn't go super all out because Hunter had to go work the rest of the show. So they were very smart about that. And I loved how the announcers are like, you know, oh, they're the smartest guys to go on first.
Because they were.
Because, well, Hunter had stuff he had to do and Cena probably left directly after or soon after to go do something else.
Because they also knew that they would get the crowd at its hottest.
Yep. So this was a great match afterwards. And by the way, LOL, Cena wins. So you got that one right.
Yeah.
Afterwards, John gets on the mic. He thanks the people of Jeddah. He thanks Saudi Arabia. He says what an honor it is for him to be there and for them to welcome them into their country. And he said that given his present circumstances, he was very happy to be there and that nothing was going to stop him from missing this show.
No matter what's going on in my universe, nothing would stop me from being here on this show.
John.
I mean, yeah.
She gonna be waiting for you at the airport to smack you.
Smack you right upside the head.
Because if you think about it, it's like, well, yeah, because he was over there and it would have been a week before the wedding. And yep. That kind of explained things. But yeah, so this was a good match. This was fine. Nice little opener for the show. Up next, we have Cedric Alexander versus Kalisto in a fun match.
Yeah, it was okay. The most memorable thing I remember for this match was the sit-down Spanish fly, but that's about it. It was okay. It was a cruiserweight match. Alexander retained. Nothing special. It was just there. I have nothing really else to add to that. It was one of those matches where it's like, I'm not sort of big into it. It was a last-minute cruiserweight match, so, it is what it is.
Yeah. I mean, they were equally matched. They did well together. It was enjoyable. I liked it. It was good. Cedric Alexander retains as expected. So there's that. Yay for him. Congratulations. And he has memorable experiences in Jeddah?
Sure.
We'll go with that.
I got nothing to add.
Up next, we have The Bar taking on the Woken Warriors for the vacant Raw Tag Team Championship. That entrance was so pretty.
Yeah, it was cool.
It was so pretty. Matt was there, but it was pretty.
It was a good match, too. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, I mean, it was fine. They did a lot, but they didn't do a whole lot. This was a lot quicker than I thought it would be.
Matt sold for a while. What is Ray is learning. And this goes back to 2 years ago. Remember that one match before Bray got hurt overseas when he teamed with Roman?
Yeah.
And he was learning how to do the hot tag as a babyface?
Yeah.
Bray is learning how to do the hot tag babyface spot.
He's still trying to figure that out.
He's doing it, though. He's doing the punches in the corner and everything like that.
It's a slow transition for him because he's been a heel for so long that he's not used to having to do the babyface stuff. So I think he's remembering that he has to do the babyface stuff.
Yeah.
Because it's not something he's necessarily used to,
Oh yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, but yeah, this was good. This was fine. Everybody looked good in this match. That's the best we could say about it. In the end, Matt and Bray...
Kissed. No, wait. Almost kissed.
That happened backstage.
No, it happened in the ring, too. Yeah, they were face to face. It was a thing.
Yeah, it was a thing. But in the end, they become Golden, in addition to Woken, because they are your brand new Raw Tag Team Champions. They were very excited. They were very happy. And I'm happy Bray's a champion again. He didn't wrestle in his apron, so there's that.
He is learning not to wrestle in his apron.
Thank God. But one thing that's becoming very, very apparent in this partnership, and I don't even know if they're doing it from a storytelling perspective, but that Matt has control of the lantern. Bray just gets to carry it to the ring. Matt actually controls the lantern, which means he controls Bray Wyatt. That's how this is
going.
You can tell that in the way that they do the entrance, because Matt takes the lantern away from Bray in the end.
He does.
So, yeah. That's going on. Anyway. Brand new Raw Tag Team Champions. Yay! And, well, you follow a Hardy with a Hardy, because up next was Jeff Hardy versus Jinder Mahal for the United States Championship. Oh, dear, this match. Okay, all right.
Let me explain this, okay?
They tried.
They tried.
They tried really hard.
Okay, so what I'm going to do is, I'm going to whisper into the wind.
So you want me to fall over 10 minutes later?
Yes.
Okay.
All right.
I'll do that.
I'm whispering now.
In 10 minutes, you may or may not hear a thud. Yeah, that's kind of what sums up this match, is they were doing okay, and then Jeff went for the whisper in the wind, and I'm not sure if Jinder wasn't in the right place. I'm not sure what exactly happened, but Jeff went for it. Jinder, I don't think, was where he's supposed to be, and so Jeff hits the move. And Jinder, he lands, right? Jeff hits the mat because he misses Jinder. Jinder's standing up, and Jinder, like, 3 to 5 seconds after Jeff hits the mat, falls over and sells the move without being touched by Jeff Hardy, or if it, at most grazed by Jeff Hardy. And God bless the announcers, because they did everything they could do to cover for this.
Yeah.
Where Graves is like, oh, I think he caught him on the backside, or on the flip side, but I'm not sure, you know, I'm not sure what happened. I didn't see it. You know, they're trying to cover for the fact that
they're trying to cover, but he legit just missed.
He just missed.
And then sold it.
Yeah. So I'm not sure who it's on. I don't know if it's on anybody, but it's like Jeff hit the move. Jeff missed. Jinder wasn't, I don't think, in the right spot. And so it was a really blatant, awkward moment in the ring where it's like,
what should have happened was Jeff missed. Jinder should have attacked, not
fallen over.
Fallen over and sold the move.
Great sell, though. Fantastic sell. Great bump. Fantastic sell. But yeah, I mean, it's
good sell and the worst sell in the same breath.
Yeah, he tried. That's the best we can say about this is he tried. So in the end, Jeff Hardy hits the Swanton Bomb for the win on Jinder Mahal. He took his top off, much to the delight of the female fans in the audience. You heard them start screaming, which was hilarious.
They love them.
They love them some Jeff Hardy, man.
They love some Brother Nero.
Jeff Hardy, sex symbol, all these years later.
It's a thing.
It's a thing. After this, we had a brief intermission for about 15-20 minutes so they could do the prayer break for the live show. They cut to backstage and to the announce team to cover. And so they just did different things. The home audience would still be entertained. They did a promo by Jericho, which was really good, except Jericho kept listening to for the audience. And I don't think he realized that it wasn't being played to the live crowd. It was only being played for the people at home. So he's listening for the crowd reaction. He's not getting one, and it kind of threw him off his game a little bit. But it was still a really good promo.
It was a good promo. All classic Jericho. Now, should we talk about Jericho now, or should we wait till number 50?
Let's wait till number 50.
Okay. Foreshadowing teaser. It's a big one.
Yes, it's a big one. It's a big one. So we come back from the prayer break, and we're hitting it running, because up next is the Usos taking on the Bludgeon Brothers for the SmackDown Tag Team Championships. And in no surprise, Dirty Sons won.
Yeah, the match was fine. It wasn't...
I expected more from them, but I guess I didn't at the same time, because I realized after I said it on Thursday that it's like, oh yeah, they're going to go out. They're all going to go balls to the wall, because, you know, it's like it's the first show in Saudi Arabia. I'm like, no, they're probably not, because Backlash is in like a week and a half, and they all have to wrestle there. So they're not going to do anything crazy stupid on this show to, like, really go nuts.
They're also not putting the Bludgeon Brothers in extended matches longer than 8-10 minutes.
Which I'm kind of disappointed about, because I wish they would. Because Harper can go.
But they're building the gimmick where their matches don't last that long because they're so dominant.
I know that, but I want to see...
I want to see a really good 20-minute Usos Bludgeon classic.
I want to see somebody really challenge them and really get a good fight out of them, because with the talent that you had in that ring, you could have easily done a 20-minute match, and it would have been fantastic.
We've seen them before between these two teams.
Yeah, this could have been epic, but I mean, it was fine. And that's what we're going to say about a lot of these matches. It was fine.
Yeah,
it was very passable. It was very entertaining. It was just left you wanting more, because you knew who was in the ring. So it's like, damn, I wish they'd gone for more. But it's like, this was fine. This was okay. And the Beardy Sons won. So I'm not really going to complain that much. I was okay with it.
Because we have other things to complain about. So let's get to our next match.
Up next, we have the IC title on the line in a ladder match where you have Seth Rollins, The Miz, Samoa Joe, and Finn Balor all fighting for the title.
You got that wrong. It's Seth Rollins, Finn Balor, Samoa Joe, and Million Dollar Pyro Miz.
Yes, Million Dollar Pyro Miz, because he got the Million Dollar Pyro.
Just wanted to make that one.
That clear. Was my comment about it.
Yeah, I wanted to get that one in to the show. Match was fine.
I say that last night when I was drunk?
Yes.
Yeah, because I watched the second half of the show still slightly inebriated, so just so everybody's aware. I'm making sure, because I wasn't sure if it was, I watched it. So just a segue, I watched part of this show, I listened to part of this show, and then I came back and I watched the parts that I listened to. So it's like...
Yeah, anyway.
I'm not sure where in our conversation I said that. So, okay, that makes sense if I said it last night.
So, these were men had a hell of a match. You could tell these were not the WWE letters because they were all metal, and they would fall at random times when they weren't expecting them to. Like, there was a spot Samojo setting up a ladder in the corner, and the ladder falls down, and Finn had to, like, move before it smashed him in the face.
Yeah, you could tell that they were not taking a lot of bumps on these ladders.
Nope.
Because these were the legit deal.
These were Home Depot specials.
So they were being very careful with the ladders. They weren't doing anything stupid on with the ladders in terms of throwing each other on them, smacking people with them, anything like that. That was not going down. They were very deliberate with how they handled them and how they used them.
And since they were the legit ladders, you would think someone would have got busted open from a ladder. Instead, Finn got busted open from a belt.
Yeah, so the finish of this match
creative.
Was incredible.
It was creative as hell.
So good. So you have Finn on the top of the ladder. He's reaching for the title. He's got a finger on it, right? He's about to grab it and pull it. And out of nowhere, Seth freaking Rollins, y'all, leaps off the turnbuckle, onto the ladder, scurries up the ladder, grabs the title, rips it off the thing, smacking Finn Balor in the face with the title, and one of the little side plates caught him on the face and cut his face, and literally rips the title out of Finn Balor's hands. It's a great finish, and you just have Finn on the top of the ladder like, what just happened?
With tears of blood.
With tears of blood, because I don't think he realized he got cut open, because then you see him check, and he's like, oh, crap, I'm bleeding.
Because the buckle smacked him in the face.
Yeah, and he's just hanging there on the top of the ladder like, what? Excuse me?
Excuse me? Yeah.
Excuse me? So, yeah, that was just a really, really, really great finish. I love these four in this match. Finn has upped his ladder game. This is much better than the ladder match he did with Kevin Owens. Because, again, he had four people to cover for him, or three people to cover for him. So, this was really, really good.
Yeah, it was good.
So, I like this a lot. It was fun.
What's next?
Up next, we see the recruits for the WWE Performance Center, because in addition to the show being in Saudi Arabia this week, WWE NXT and the training group came over to basically do a camp to look for talent, scout for talent. So they had an open call camp where they put people through their paces, weeded people out, and they ended up with four candidates from Saudi Arabia, which was really, really cool to see. And apparently this was not broadcast to the home audience in Saudi Arabia, which I thought was a little weird until, you hear what happened.
Yeah.
And so all of them were really super proud and excited that they were a part of the show and that they had been selected and that they were going to represent their home country in WWE. And they were from all different places, which was really cool. And there were some tall ones in there.
They grow them big overseas.
Boy, do they ever. They weren't the tallest ones we saw that night.
Yeah, anyway.
They weren't the tallest ones. And Braun wasn't the tallest one either.
Nope.
We'll get there.
We'll get there.
So they're all talking about how proud they are. And then out come the Daivari brothers with their Iranian flag. And oh, that did not go over well. Oh, that crowd was booing. They were not happy. Basically, words were exchanged and the Daivaris got beat up by the Saudi Arabians, much to the crowd's delight. Meanwhile, the best part about this segment was Mike Rome, who's doing the interview with the guys, right? Now, if it was a female commentator, she would have gotten out of the ring when stuff starts going down. Right? Because that's what they do. They bail. Mm-hmm. Mike Rome is standing in the corner like, ooh, snap, things are about to happen. I'm going to watch this. Like, his face just sold it because he's like, ooh, the whole time. It's great.
It was tremendous.
Because I kept waiting for him to step out of the ring and he wasn't doing it. And it's like, and they started beating each other up and I was like, oh, okay, he's just going to stand there. All right, cool. And watch the whole thing. He's like, I flew this far. I'm going to enjoy this.
Right.
You know?
Oh, yeah.
So, after this, we have AJ Styles versus Shinsuke Nakamura for the SmackDown WWE Championship. Great match.
Better than WrestleMania.
Better than WrestleMania. This is the match I wanted to see at WrestleMania. Crap finish.
Yeah, it was not the finish you wanted to see, because they're extending into Backlash, which we'll talk about in a minute, but fun to double count out. They battled on the outside. AJ left standing. It was the appropriate, I don't know. I don't know if you call it appropriate finish or anything. You don't want to beat Shinsuke. You didn't want to beat AJ. So you do this because you're doing the match in 2 weeks. I get it. Just disappointed in the finish.
Yeah, very disappointed in the finish. Would have liked to have seen something a little different. Like, I'm okay for a count out. I'm okay for a DQ. That's fine. But the double count out was just It's like, oh god, really? Really? We're going for that? Okay. All right. Like, I would have much rather seen, like, a low blow from AJ to Shinsuke.
To return the favor, yeah.
To return the favor. But that didn't happen. So, it was what it was. But the match was fantastic. It was so good. So, the finish doesn't really impact how good the match was. It was just one of those, oh, just a disappointing moment.
Pretty much, yeah.
So, yeah. And then it came to the match that I was really, really happy to see. Rusev versus The Undertaker in a casket match.
We watch. This was good.
This was
impressive. Now, there will be a lot of people like, how do you mean this was impressive?
Y'all.
Go back to WrestleMania 33 and you watch that man perform.
And then you watch him perform this year. Oh my god, it's night and day.
I'm calling this 2007 Taker in terms of movement, in terms of match style. He has his hips back.
He has his knees back.
Like, he was walking on his knees. Legit walking on his knees. Not crawling, walking on his knees. He did the ring apron leg drop with ease.
And got up with ease.
Like, he did the sit-up and got right up.
Dude is moving so well. He looked so good here. It was like, oh my god, yay. And the nice thing about this match was that he was not grimacing in pain every 5 seconds like he did last year with Roman. Because you could just tell he was in a tremendous amount of pain last year. And this year, he was still in pain, but it wasn't nearly as noticeable or as bad. Because, I mean, it's like wrestling still hurts and he was still grimacing from the bumps that he was taking, but it wasn't like, oh god, I can't get up kind of pain. It was, he was okay.
He got up, he moved, he did everything he should. Rusev was great acting with the casket. Aiden English played his part super well.
They sold it great. Taker looked like $1 million. Rusev looked really good. English looked really good. Like, this was just really well done in terms of the way that they put it together.
And in the end, the right man won. Undertaker with a chokeslam to Rusev, put him in the casket, tombstone to Aiden English, put him in the casket, and the Undertaker wins.
There's a little controversy coming out of this match in the fact that people are saying Aiden English got hurt from the tombstone, because if you actually watch the tombstone, the top of his head does bump the mat. So I think people were worried that he got hurt, but I think he's okay.
He is fine. Nothing happened.
Yeah. But, you know, Taker being a gentleman, he buried them together.
Yeah.
Like you do.
Like you do.
But the coolest moment of this match was not the actual match or seeing Taker move, but though that was really spectacular to see. The really cool moment was when he came out and you saw how many people had their phones up taking pictures and videos and just being like awe-inspired by Taker. And you realize that this is probably the only time he will go over there and work in a wrestling capacity. He may go next year, depending on how he feels, if he's still working. But you saw them just like absolutely awe-inspired by Taker.
Yeah, it was
great. Such a cool moment.
It was awesome.
The only criticism on that is I feel like Michael Cole went a little too early in Taker's entrance.
He was a little excited.
He was a little excited.
Or Vince screamed in his ear prematurely.
Yeah, because it's like he started to talk about The Undertaker, and like none of the announcers really responded, and then Cole shut up. Because it's like, why are you talking in the middle of Taker's entrance? Like, why are you doing that? Thou shalt not talk during The Undertaker's entrance at all. But yeah, he came out, he lived it up, and for Taker, he took his dear sweet time getting to the ring. He you know, he communed with his casket. He had a hat mark.
He did.
Yeah. Mark, honey, your hat's a little too tight. You may want to fix it. I don't know if he wants to at this point. But I will say this for Taker, that there is no signs of stopping for that man.
No. None.
No signs.
He's back.
He's back, y'all.
Not full time.
He's so back.
Sort of time. He's back digging, taking souls and digging graves and whatever.
I'm not going to argue with that. I mean, as much as I want him to retire and be happy, if this is the way that he can wrestle and he's okay after he gets done wrestling, like, I mean, just even to see him leave after the match.
Yeah.
Like, there's a moment where he's standing in the ring and he's up on his feet. He's fine. He's not in really gross amounts of pain like he is generally after he wrestles. And he lifts his head up high like, yep, I just did that. I'm okay. I can start wrestling again. Like, you can almost just see it on his face where he's like, he's proud of himself because he got through it.
Oh, yeah.
And he was okay afterwards. And then he gets out of the ring and he walks off and he's fine. Like, that was just really, 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 really cool. So, yeah. Got to see my Undertaker. Got to see him win. Was really excited about that. Super happy because, you know, first wrestling love and all. Up next, we have the controversial match between Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns in a cage for the Universal Championship. Paul Heyman was over. Brock Lesnar was over. Roman was over. Everybody was over. The match was fine. Very physical. It's pretty much what you would expect from these two. There's not a lot of notes on that.
Here's your notes. Superman punches. German suplexes. Roman climbs up cage. Roman tries to escape through a door. Gets door smashed in his face. More Superman punches. More F5s. More spears. And then a spear through the cage wall. And your winner is Brock. What?
Yeah, okay, so here's the really awkward controversy coming out of this match. They declare Brock Lesnar the winner because he hit the floor first, but the pancake rule applies because the way that he fell, the cage is in between him and the floor. So he's technically not touching the floor, although a little bit of his head does. But I always heard it was both feet hitting the floor first. That's how you win a cage match. Brock's feet were up on the ring apron. Roman rolls off of Brock and gets both feet on the ground first. So by going by the 2 feet rule, it's Roman. Now, just hitting the floor first, it's Brock because his head does technically hit the floor first.
You could tell the winner was supposed to be Brock. The full cage was supposed to come off and his feet were supposed to hit the mats first. Logical. All right, here's a logical perspective. When you take science into the equation, when you have someone going speed X against someone who weighs Y, and you combine them together to crash at Z, doing the spear would automatically say cage would break. So from Roman Reigns' perspective, it was a dumbass move that cost them the championship. Simple, logical explanation, kind of, sort of. Logically, it made no sense for him to do a spear. General terms.
Yeah, I'm in agreement on that. And it's like, that was a stupid move on Roman's part. But it should lead to controversy, which I hope they address on Monday Night Raw, which will eventually lead to Roman getting another rematch, probably at Money in the Bank.
Yes, it will not be at Backlash.
Unfortunately.
Because reasons. Anyway.
But that does it for the greatest... Or wait, no, we have one more match. Crap. We have one more match. And that is the 50-man Royal Rumble match. Now, before we get into the match, I just want to say this. I was a little disappointed that they did not have people pulling double duty and having them come out in the Rumble. Like, we didn't get to see pretty much anybody else that had wrestled earlier in the night in the Rumble.
That said, 50 is a lot of people.
50 is a lot of people, but I wanted to see Bray Wyatt again, damn it.
50 is a lot of people.
Bray was already there. He could have paraded around with his shiny new title.
50 is a lot of people.
He and Matt needed matching trophies.
Okay. That's going to go with Daniel Bryan coming in number one, and he set the record for longest time in a Royal Rumble match.
And oh my god, his chest at the end. Oh dear god.
It looked like ground beef.
Dude needed like aloe vera and 6 kinds of lotion.
It was all carved up.
Ew, god, that had to hurt. And that's not for, I mean, it's partially from people just smacking him around, but it was from the ropes too, wasn't it?
Yeah, a little bit of this, a little bit of that.
I mean, his chest, his arms, I mean, just, oh god, it looked painful.
So he broke the record. Notable people in this matchup. Curtis Axel and Bo Dallas used their original themes. We had Mark Henry in this match. Mike Kanellis was in this matchup for half a second.
Yeah.
He may or may not have set a record. Who knows? You had Hiroki Sumi. He's a big old man.
Yes, he is a big old man.
Who likes to jiggle, a jiggle, and a jiggle. Hornswoggle was in this matchup.
He was.
I don't know how he actually got eliminated. They say Tony needs to eliminate him, but I don't remember going over the top rope.
Okay, I watched this because you mentioned it to me last night. So, he goes up to do the tadpole splash, and he gets kicked off.
I know this.
And he falls onto the ring apron, so technically he did go over the top rope because he came off the top.
But he went underneath the bottom rope to climb up. He never went over the top.
But he was technically on the turnbuckle, but so they're calling that over the top.
But that's not over the top. He actually climbed up and you know, climb over the rope to get over there. He never did that.
But he was still on the top, so technically he came above the third rope.
No, but that was from the outside. He had to do it from the inside. Anyway, that's technical terms.
That's what they're calling it.
I know, but...
I don't agree with it, but that's what they're technically calling it, is the fact that because he came out and he was on the outside and he was up above the third rope, he went over the third rope because then he landed on the ring apron and he was trying to get back in and then they just kicked him off.
Yeah. Anyway, more notables. You had Kurt Angle in this matchup. You had Fandango in this matchup, where when his entrance came out, they were like, who is it, Tyler Breeze or is it Fandango? And the announcers were having some issues there.
There were a lot of issues on this show. There were a lot of flubs. There were a lot of botches. There were some issues on this show. I don't think they quite had the full production team there, because obviously none of the women went.
Yeah.
So I think you had people that were producing this show that had never really done it before, or were fairly inexperienced with it. I'm not sure. But there were quite a number of production issues in this show.
Tucker Knight from NXT was in this show. Roderick Strong was on this show.
Where the hell was Otis?
He did not make it over.
God damn it. How could you have Tucker without Otis?
Rey Mysterio was in this show. In this matchup.
That gear was really unfortunate.
I'll say this about when Daniel Bryan was in the ring, and he was in this ring the entire time. Him messing around with guys like Rey Mysterio, guys like Kurt Angle. We had Daniel Bryan and Kurt Angle wrestling with each other. We had Daniel Bryan and Chad Gable messing around with one another.
I was okay with that.
I'm okay with it all. Okay with it all. Baba Tundi? Tundi?
A big man. A huge man. He dwarfs Strowman, y'all. I don't know what the hell they fed him in NXT, but damn, he's big.
Dan Matha, he's big too.
He is big. Not as big as the other one, but he is big. Like, you can tell that they went through a hiring spree of big guys.
Yeah, and then number 39. The unfortunate number 39.
The only thing people remember from this match, more or less.
Titus World slides.
So Titus O'Neil, bless his heart, comes running out. He comes sprinting down the ramp because he's number 39 in the Rumble, and oops! His toe catches on the floor.
Shades of NXT.
Shades of NXT. And he trips. And he falls. And because he was in a forward motion at the time that he trips and falls, he slides all the way face first under the ring. It's like Corey Graves and the announce team just lose it.
Corey Graves couldn't stop laughing for like 3 minutes.
He couldn't. Like, he's trying to call this match and he can't breathe because he's laughing. And you know that, like, everybody on the headset is losing it right now, because you just know based on the announcer's reaction that that's what's going on.
Yeah.
And it didn't help that they replayed it like 8 times.
Yeah, it didn't help at all.
But it was hilarious.
It was hilarious.
Like, they were literally like, you know, Michael Cole was like, this is it. This is the greatest Royal Rumble moment ever. Steve Austin, you won 3 Rumbles. Top this.
Okay. You know why they kept saying this? And I just thought of this now. Because it's Vince in the headphones.
Yep.
Screaming it. You know why Vince was screaming it?
Why?
Do you remember Vince McMahon's greatest Royal Rumble moment?
Oh, where he popped both his quads?
Where he popped his quads doing the same thing.
Yep.
I just thought of that.
Yep. But this was fantastic. But it's just like Corey Graves just lost it.
Yeah.
That was probably the best part about it, was Corey Graves is sitting there trying to call the match, and he can't breathe. Because he's laughing too much.
Yeah. All right. So Bobby Lashley and Big Cass should never work together. Almost killed Big Cass with a suplex. Should never done it. Hit him with a brain buster. Legit almost broke his neck.
But that's not necessarily on Lashley. I think that was more on Cass, because Cass just could not jump enough to get himself up.
Not enough push on that left leg yet.
Because they tried the spot twice and it did not work.
No. Great Khali was in this matchup. Kevin Owens ran into all his people, Daniel Bryan and Shane McMahon, who just beat on him for a while.
And then Chris Jericho showed up.
Oh.
And Kevin Owens had the best reaction to Jericho.
Yeah, it was great. And then you go, wait, that's Chris Jericho? I mean, I see the lights and everything, but Rockstar Jericho, full effect.
Yep.
Yeah, big boy.
Yep.
Yeah, big old boy now.
He's been having fun on the road, drinking and doing whatever else he does. It shows. I mean, not that I'm one to talk, but...
Right? But it's like, he should get on that... He has a cruise coming up at the end of the year. He might want to get in some shape. Beach body. You need a beach body.
He's got the dad bod going on.
Oh, full on dad bod.
He's got the dad bod.
So, Braun Strowman was awesome. Braun Strowman beat up people. Braun Strowman got up in big men faces. Braun Strowman chucks Shane McMahon off the top rope through the announce table, because why? Shane McMahon needs to do his leaps and dives and falls through tables. Because,
I mean, if you're,
because that's what Shane McMahon do.
If you're going to get eliminated, you might as well do it in spectacular fashion. And by God, Shane McMahon just did it in spectacular fashion. But Braun Strowman was chucking people like footballs. Grown men. 200-300 pound grown men. He was throwing them like they were footballs. It was amazing, and it was utterly terrifying at the same time, because I don't think we've seen how strong Braun Strowman actually is, and to see him do what he was doing in this match, it was like, oh dear God, this man is scary. Amazing, but scary at how just strong he is.
Mm-hmm.
He looked fantastic in this match, as he should have. And ultimately, he was the winner.
He was the winner. Should have been, the best moment was like Daniel Bryan and Shane doing the world famous yes kicks on Kevin Owens. Was great.
That was fantastic.
So records were broken. Braun Strowman now has the most eliminations in a Royal Rumble.
He does.
13 of them.
And Daniel Bryan now has the record for the longest time spent in a Royal Rumble.
He does. Braun Strowman got a trophy
and a title belt
and a green belt.
Who was the guy doing the presentation with Vince?
Some guy from over there.
Oh, I didn't know if he was from the royal family or if he was on the tourism board or who he was.
Don't know. They never said.
Yeah, they never said who he was, but there was a guy joking around with Vince and Braun in the ring as they were presenting the title, because he wanted to lift the very nice trophy up.
No, he wanted the belt. He was going to keep the belt for himself.
Yeah. They're like, we'll have one made for you, sir.
Yeah.
Pretty much. I think that's how that went. We'll have one made for you, sir. But yeah, Braun just looked absolutely spectacular.
Dominant.
In this match. My only qualm was Big Cass eliminating Bryan.
Well, that sets up Backlash, which we'll get into after the break. But overall, this was a fun show. 5 hours is way too long. But it was a fun show. Enjoyable. Don't like the two championship finishes, but it is what it is.
They're not going to change any of the titles except for the Raw Tag Team Championships, because they crowned somebody on this show because Backlash is too close. If they had done this where Backlash was not in a week and a half, it would have been fine.
Yeah.
Where they would have changed titles, they would have done different things, but it's like we have a pay-per-view coming up right after this, and we have to be extremely smart about how they do this. And they were. And I know a lot of people really didn't like this show. I know a lot of people are complaining about this show. This was an experiment gone right. You could tell they were going out there and doing this for fun. You could tell that this counted, but it didn't count. And it was one of those shows where they just put on good matches.
Mm-hmm.
And they were having a good time, and they were having fun with it, and it wasn't as serious as what they do here. You could tell that by the way that the announcers were talking. You could tell by the way the wrestlers were performing. All of that stuff. This was essentially a glorified house show that was way the hell too long. But you're going over there for the first time. You need to make a splash. You're being paid a lot of money to make a splash. So I get why it was 5 hours, because they want to give the country that's paying for this their money's worth.
They gave them all things WWE. I gotta mention a couple of things really quick. The video package was great. The Hunter Cena video package was great, and they like pulled promo clips to make it seem like there's an actual feud going on, but there really wasn't. And the people doing the Taker one, bless them for making him look good.
Yeah, whoever has to do the Taker video packages, that person deserves a raise. Because you know, just if you watch that whole package, you know they had to go through hours and hours and hours of footage to put that thing together.
Oh, yeah.
And they did a phenomenal job with it.
Phenomenal.
Pun intended.
Phenomenal.
Because he is the phenom.
Phenomenal.
Phenomenal. But speaking of phenomenal, we need to talk about Backlash. So what do you say we take our first and only break of the evening and talk about it on the flip side?
Sounds good.
All right, so you're listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be right back. Back to the cradle, away from the burdens of all my crimes. Before it's fatal, the past has found me, the truth's come out. All is remembered, with no place to fall, but straight down. I must surrender, well it seems I... Like what you hear? Subscribe to The Rack on Apple Podcasts. Just search for The Rack Radio Show. And while you're there, leave us a review and tell us your thoughts on your favorite show on a Thursday night.
The evolution of online sports entertainment begins again on Sunday nights when you step into the ring with Wrestle Talk Radio. Covering all the latest in the WWE, TNA, and the indie scene. Plus, providing you with the most comprehensive coverage of every WWE and TNA pay-per-view. Join Wrestle Talk Radio every Sunday night, live only on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
Get chatty with CB Radio. Tweet us at twitter.com/CB Radio Live. And while you're at it, tweet me, twitter.com/Lone Jobber.
Every Monday night, get caught up with everything that happens on Monday Night Raw with the Raw Post Show.
Suplex City, bitch!
From the big returns...
Maybe I have one more ass-kicking left in. I thought to myself, maybe I have one badass spear left in me. Then I thought to myself, maybe I have one last devastating jackhammer in me. So, Brock Lesnar, not only does that mean that you're next, but most importantly, it means, Brock Lesnar, you're last!
To the shocking moment.
First off, thank you so much for that. Yeah, what's up, Detroit?
And the moments that leave you speechless.
You know, Chris, if you're going to put something on that list, why don't you start with that terrible scarf of yours? I mean, while I'm looking at you, you can add those rinky-dink tattoos on there, your tacky little haircut, your creepy mustache, and how about those trunks, Sparkle Crotch?
What?
Sparkle Crotch. They're sparkly. Rhinestones all over the place. Sparkle Crotch. Go ahead, get it on the list, write it down. Sparkle Crotch.
I'm going to say this one time. I am not Sparkle Crotch!
It's the Raw Post Show, Monday nights, live on the Wild Talk Radio Network.
This is Kane from WWE, and you're listening to The Rack on Wild Talk Radio.
I've been on a long road with the devil right beside me. Rising with the morning sun, it's the hunger that drives me. Oh Lord, set my soul, take my pain and turn it into gold. It's all I know, all I know, all I know is.
And welcome back to The Rack right here on WildTalkRadio.com. Brought to you by our friends over at MBG Films. Check them out at youtube.com/MBG1211. And if you're listening to us over at GearWork.net, WildTalkRadio.com, or RackRadioShow.com, thank you so much for tuning in. We greatly appreciate it. Get a quick second check out the fine folks over at FightBoot.com as well. And as promised, we're back to talk all about Backlash, which is this coming Sunday on the WWE Network.
As mentioned on the top, we are taping this on a Saturday, well before everything goes down on Monday and Tuesday. So,
yes, so we have a reduced card.
We have an incomplete card. Please go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadio Network for the full card and make your predictions in there. Now, let's get through some of these matches, shall we?
Yes.
Raw Women's Championship is on the line. Nia Jax and Alexa Bliss.
Nia.
Nia will retain. I hope this match is better than the Mania match, which the Mania match wasn't bad, but I just think they could put on a better performance here, and I don't think they would be rushed for time.
No. I don't think they would, but it will be interesting to see what happens with Alexa's new...
Enhancements,
to see how physical they actually get. But yeah, this should be fun.
So, Nia retained. What I will call the sleeper match of the show. Carmella versus Charlotte for the SmackDown Women's Championship.
This should be good. I know a lot of people are dreading it because they're like, oh god, it's Carmella, but no, Carmella can work.
I have a feeling this could be really good. I think Charlotte is a good enough worker where she'll be able to put Carmella in positions to succeed. I think the two women are going to have a really good match. I think it's going to be an enjoyable match, and people later that night will be, wow, did you see that Carmella-Charlotte match? It was really good.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree with that. It's a contender. Y'all just got to give it a chance.
I'm going Carmella retains. Probably iconic helpfulness will be involved.
Yeah, I don't want to see Charlotte get it back so quick, because then what was the point other than to burn the money in the bank and get it off Carmella before, you know, they go to the actual next pay-per-view. But I'd like to see Carmella get a run with the title because she's doing some really fantastic work with it. And I'd just like to see what she could do. I mean, give Charlotte a rest. She's been a fantastic champion and she just, you know, needs some time without the title. And I would be okay with that, especially if Carmella and the Iconics become a trio. And here, that could be a really interesting mix.
It could be an interesting mix. And here's the thing. Long-range booking, I would put Charlotte in the Money in the Bank match and put some star power there.
Yeah.
Because Charlotte's been missing out on those because she's held the big shiny gold. She missed out on the Rumble. She missed out on the Money in the Bank match. No, I think she was in Money in the Bank next year. But I would put her in the match. Let her be in there, and let's see what she can do.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Daniel Bryan, Big Cass.
Oh, dear. I think this will be okay, because I think Bryan will get a good match out of Cass.
So the moment when Big Cass pins Daniel Bryan in the middle of the ring for the 1-2-3, the internet will explode in 3, 2, and 1.
Right?
Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, you gotta keep Bryan on a winning streak, but...
If the other outcome happens, I'm just gonna watch Twitter and let them just...
You watch Twitter, I'll watch Tumblr. We'll compare notes.
There you go. We'll have it on the review show live next Thursday.
Oh dear.
Oh dear is right.
Could get interesting. So what's next?
Seth Rollins, Miz for the Intercontinental title. Miz is on SmackDown. Rollins is on Raw. Rollins wins.
Yeah, I'm saying Rollins is keeping the title.
The match will be fine, but it's an obvious outcome.
Miz has had that title for so long. He has carried it with such prestige and such honor, and he's made it so relevant, and that's fantastic. But I feel like you need to get Miz away from that title, because otherwise he is just literally the perpetual IC champion, which is fine because he's really, really close to being the longest reigning champion consecutively of all time with the IC title. So, and I think he's also really close to tying...
If he wins again, he ties Jericho's record, and then he'll have the longest combined reign at some point.
Yeah. And then if he wins it after that, he'll beat Jericho. But I mean, just give him a break, move him away from the IC title, possibly point him at the US, or you know what? Hey, put him in contention for the main title. Miz has been hitting his stride. He has been carrying segments on Raw on his own and doing absolutely wonderful work. Give the dude a shot at the main title. Yeah. Let him see what he can do with that.
Yeah.
Because I would really love to see that.
Yeah. Roman Reigns, Samoa Joe.
This should be fun.
This would be a good match. Roman wins because LOL Roman wins.
Yeah, Roman's going to win because you need to make up for the fact that he did lose the title. It's going to be really physical.
They're going to put Roman over Joe so Roman can get his win to go to Brock to give him some momentum. See, he finally beats Samoa Joe in a big match on a big show and all that fun, happy stuff and make Roman Roman. And anyway, AJ Styles, Shinsuke Nakamura for the WWE Championship.
All right. So we talked about this last week where it's like you kind of have to put the title on Shinsuke at some point. If you don't do it at Greatest Royal Rumble, which they didn't, you have to do it at Backlash. Because again, AJ has had that title for a while and it's kind of time with Shinsuke.
It's time for Shinsuke. If you're going to do anything with this, he'll run. You got to put the belt on Shinsuke. Shinsuke needs to go over AJ Styles. Let Shinsuke hold it for a couple months. He doesn't have to hold it long. He just needs the belt to establish himself as the champion and finally put it on him, and you go from there. Yeah, I'm going Shin.
Yeah, Shinsuke.
There's your short, sweet, and condensed WWE Backlash preview since we're recording this early. We haven't seen the final outcomes of anything, so we can't really give you the full details because we haven't seen the full details. You can go to facebook.com/group/WildTalkRadioNetwork. Leave your picks and predictions. There you can tweet us at Wild Talk Radio, at Rock Radio Show for them as well.
You know what I would really love to see on this show, and I will never get it, is the awkward moment between the Bludgeon Brothers and Bray and Matt.
You won't get that.
I won't get that, but I would love to see that. Just the really awkward moment of Bray and Matt walk by the Bludgeon Brothers, and Luke and Eric are both standing there looking at Bray like, wow. And Bray's like, I'm with my new boyfriend now. Isn't he cute?
Right.
And crazy?
Right.
And Luke's just standing there like, please stop. It'd be hilarious.
It'd be hilarious.
But it won't happen.
But it won't happen. Anyway, I think that's our show.
I think that does it for us, so thank you so much for tuning in. You have plugs?
Yes, check out Cinco de Jobber live this Saturday night, midnight-ish on CB Radio, CB Radio Live on Facebook, Twitter, and .com, hashtag Blame Rob when a celebrity dies. Yes, you heard me right, hashtag Cinco de Jobber. Sunday Night Wrestle Talk Radio returns with the Backlash review at 11 p.m. Eastern. Monday night is the Raw Post Show, 11:10 p.m. Eastern. Check out the Rack Extra Reviews Timeless, the Rack Extra Reviews The Royals, both available on Sunday around 11 p.m. Eastern.
Check it out because things happened.
We'll be back live next Thursday night, 10 p.m. Eastern, right here at wildtalkradio.com and rockradioshow.com. It's Rack Radio Show on all your favorite social media sites except Snapchat. We're not on Snapchat. There's a Rack Radio Show on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, Stitcher, iTunes, Google Play, Tumblr. We're all there. Rack Radio Show, rackradioshow.com, at Wild Talk Radio, facebook.com/WildTalkRadioNetwork.
You can follow me on Twitter, at LinsWard, LinsWard. Go to my website, psychwarddesigns.com. If you like my artwork, if you'd like to view my artwork, it is available for your viewing pleasure at behance.net/LinsWard, same as the Twitters. And don't forget to check out the amazing, awesome sponsors, fightboot.com, mbgfilms, youtube.com/mbg1211, and gerwick.net. So for Rock, I'm Lindsay Ward. You've been listening to The Rack right here on wildtalkradio.com, and we will be back live next week. Till then, bye!
WildTalkRadio.com.